And welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 812. Continuing our team-by-team previews to get you ready for the 2026 fantasy baseball season. We're heading to the AL West to talk about a team that a couple years ago won the World Series. Wouldn't know much about it after last season, but we'll talk about that and much, much more. In order to help me break this down, he's been kind enough to do this the last couple of seasons. You can find his work over at FTN Fantasy as he keeps writing more and more content for the boys over there. And you can find him on Blue Sky at LucasBury33. Lucas, how we doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Bubba. Thanks again for having me. Off season's going by quick. That's not a bad thing. Feels like we were in Arizona, well, about 2 months ago at this point, a little bit over, and been having a good time hanging out in the Bubba and the Bloom Discord. Highly recommend if you're not in that thing. The tools are incredible, and getting your updates, you know, on a Sunday night, you've been running and gunning, and you can check your news stuff. So like, that's just super helpful to just kind of sift over everything. If you're in a hurry.
Appreciate it. Yep. It's a fun little crew over there having a good time. So I appreciate that. Before we get going, let everybody know what you got going on FTN Fantasy.
Yes. So over at FTN Fantasy, you can go ahead and sign up with the code GUT26 for 10% off. For myself, I've been writing battleship articles, taken over from the great Matty Wood. He did those, and I used to read those back in the day. So it feels really cool to kind of follow in his footsteps. He's actually in the Great Lakes League with me at GLARF, so that's cool. Shout out to Matty. But I finished up catcher and corner infielder last weekend, or catcher and middle infielder, and then I did corner infielder in a 2025 review. So got about 65% hits just based on my caveman result tallying. But I gave a few pushes for Jaron Duran. He was going third round. I called that a push, but it was maybe a fail, but you know, we'll play with that. But we have tons of content over there. Just a great team, and check it out at FTN Fantasy.
Yep, good people over there. Lots of good people, lots of good stuff. Led by Vlad Sedler and the crew is what I like to say. But you got Mager, who's going to be an NFC Hall of Famer this season, and many others. So always good to see. All right, Texas Rangers. I was talking with Lucas off the air. I always appreciate Lucas coming on because he's one of like three or four people now that I have that aren't technically fans of the team, but they are fantasy baseball players, analysts that can help me break these players down and help us all get ready for the season. So I guess if you had to put on a quasi-fan hat, Lucas, how would you think the Rangers season went last year?
You know, I would say it was a mild disappointment, maybe a little bit higher if you're an unrealistic fan. I mean, this is a team that's in a very similar position to the San Diego Padres, where they've got talent, they're spending the money, the players just really aren't worth the contracts anymore, which is admirable that the owner shelled out the dough, but this is just a big reason why you cannot build a team in free agency. A few years ago, the New York Mets picked up Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer. The next thing you know, they're flipping them at the deadline. You got to have those chief cost controlled guys. You know, your Giants are building them up with Elio Ramos, and Logan Webb was homegrown, and you have to have a mixture of both. The Rangers are just kind of in the middle of their run, and it's going to be ending a lot sooner than maybe they hoped. Once they signed Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, they put him into that big stadium. So, I mean, they got the World Series. That's incredible. But it just shows you how tough it is to build through a free agent type of environment.
Yep, it is. It's one thing with doing these, this is year four of these previews. It reminds me of teams like, you look at the Royals when they're all homegrown and they made their runs for a couple World Series, the Cubs. And it only lasts so long. Like you said, you have to like either let them go to free agency, you got to trade them. It's the tough questions. Like I just had Marty Tallman on. Unfortunately, you know, the Tigers don't spend a lot of money. There's a chance that Scooble's walking out that door, and that'd be an absolute shame. But that's just what some of these teams do. Now, should they do it? That's a whole other conversation. But to your point is right now, like you look at, we have all the arbitration numbers coming out, and I always laugh when you see certain really good players, especially for us in fantasy, get like $4.5 million. You're like, yep. How are you not building around this guy? Like, what are we doing here? So,
and that's the tough part. You know, you see that with Minnesota got hit with a lot of arbitration over the last few years with Joe Ryan, Pablo Lopez. Seattle's about to go through that with their elite ace pitchers going through arbitration. So to even stay at the same payroll, you're going to have to shave down guys once you're mid-tier and middle-age kind of players that are 27 through 30. They get more expensive, and then unless your ownership's backing you, it's just a tough challenge.
Yep, the sticky business side of baseball. All right, let's talk Texas Rangers, though, because as you mentioned, this team does spend money compared to some of these other squads. It just maybe doesn't turn out to be as effective long-term, as you were saying. So let's start with the move they made in the offseason via trade, though. And they flipped the previously mentioned Marcus Semien to the Mets, and they acquired Brandon Nimmo. Brandon Nimmo is a player that I always kind of had a stigma with as an injured guy, but that if you like look at it the last four seasons, durability's been pretty darn good. Power's been there. Speed's been there. You're looking at Nimmo, who will be 33, so he's a little older than I think I would even expect. But if you're looking at ADP, his ADP is 157 over the last 11 drafts at the NFBC Draft Champions. It's pretty affordable if you look at the consistency. But what are your thoughts on Brandon Nimmo coming to Texas and, I guess, age, injury concern, anything like that?
You know, Nimmo is kind of one of those metronome-type players that every year he pretty much does the same thing. And in a 15-team league, to get that type of guy is highly valuable. Your Dansby Swanson, Ian Happ, Brandon Nimmo types. I love to get those players whenever I can. I don't want to have an entire roster of them because then your upside is going to be capped a little bit. But the tough thing that I didn't like to see whenever he got moved over there was that the ballpark, as far as Globe Life Field, is the worst in the majors as far as park factors. But even 2-3 years ago, that was not the case. So I've even read some stories from their front office where they're trying to get an understanding of why it's changed so much, and they are not even having a full grip on that. So that's a little bit of a thing to think about with their offensive batters, that their ballpark is a pitcher friendly place. So great for their pitchers, bad for their batters. I think with Nimmo, you're looking at a 20 home run, maybe 8-10 steal guy with a 250 ish average. He doesn't get the on base percentage boost that he used to because he's more of a sell and out for power kind of a guy, but he's about as stable as it gets, even as he's entering his age 33 season.
Yeah, and it's one of those, like I kind of said earlier, I used to just kind of have a bias against him, it felt like. But that's more like my 12-team bias, even though he's still, the last 2 years, yeah, been really good in 12s. But you made the point about 15s. I was like, I'm going to do more 15s with auctions and everything. We've talked about that on other shows, that he fits beautifully. And it wasn't, I don't think, this last year when Ryan and I reviewed like the successful DCs, but it was the year before, after 2024. Nimmo was like a staple on most of those teams. And I just want to like highlight the staple aspect, because like you mentioned, it's, you don't want a bunch of them, but it's great because literally it was 23 home runs, 15 steals, hit 224. The average is not great, but 23, 15, 88 runs and 90 RBIs. Those four counting stats right there, where you draft him at is very, very strong in a 15 team format. If he has hits for a little average, you're money ahead for sure.
Kind of going back to your point with his stability and his health, as far as the last four seasons, he's number 12 in the entire majors in plate appearances. So, I mean, I think, you know, the health stuff, it can crop up on you in your early to mid 30s. I mean, that's anybody, but I don't think a negative health grade is fair for this dude.
Yep. 150 plus games in four straight years. As I said, I had like kind of take myself out of it because I think it's doing like that daily news I do. He was always playing hurt, but he was still playing. Like he had the foot injury. Like he played through, like, I think it was like wasn't Liz Frank. He had something wrong with his foot.
He had the plantar fasciitis.
Yeah. Like, most people don't walk, let alone play baseball. And like he was always going through something, but he still did it. And hey, kudos to him.
Kind of like the Sal Perez, where he's day to day every day, but he still manages to post the next day, I swear.
Exactly. Yep. That is him for sure. All right. A player that, if anybody listens to any of my content, you know, I'm not a Corey Seager fantasy baseball fan. Like, nothing against the guy. Never met him. Probably a great human being. Who knows? I have no idea. But last year, 102 games. That's another short season for Corey Seager. Still at 21 homers at 271. So average and power have never been a concern. It's the playing time. So what are your thoughts on Seager? Because at least this year, Lucas, his ADP is 112 over the last 11 drafts. That seems a lot more palatable. It felt like he was always like one of those, like in a 15, like you had to get him in top four, maybe five rounds. Like you had to pay more for Seager. This year it's not as high. But where are you at on Corey Seager? Because like I said, I'm just usually pretty out.
You know, as far as Seager goes, I hear you. I know that you're not a huge fan of him. But in today's roto baseball, with all the strikeouts from the pitching, batting average is so key. And we've talked about that in the Discord a lot, as well as all the great people in the Discord. I mean, he's basically a 280 batting average when he's healthy, and he's on a 25 home run pace, and he can hit 30 potentially. ADP of 112, where you can factor in a replacement guy for whenever he does go down, Now you have to be wary that he's not going to give you any bags in the middle infield position, which is a concern. But I think if you're trying to be mindful of batting average, this price is as good as it's ever been. And if you're a projection type of guy, he's about a top 15, top 13 batter just in WRC plus. So I think he's a great pickup this year, and he's my favorite batter on their entire team for the price.
Yeah, that's where it gets interesting. The price is, like I said, almost twice. He's going almost two times later, if that makes sense. You know, usually he's around pick 60-ish. Now he's going on 112. Like, he's almost doubling his old ADP realm. And that becomes more of a, okay, now we could probably work with something here. Because if you're aggressive at shortstop, he can be your middle infielder if mm-hmm. you really wanted him to. And I agree with the batting average. Like you said, we talked about in the Discord, it's been something I've really tried to stay focused on. Like, I've started drafting Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the first round, which I would never grab, which really, in reality, Seager, very similar to Vlad Guerrero Jr. Batting average might be a little lower than Vladdy, but if we're talking 25 home run power, like, seriously, that's kind of what Vladdy's giving you. He might have a higher ceiling, but and Vladdy plays every day. Don't get me wrong. So his average is even stronger for your team. That's why he's going higher. But there's levels to this. But to your point, the new ADP, the power to speed, like, maybe I should open my thoughts to it. Probably won't, but I probably should. I'm a stubborn old man. That's just my problem. But
the thing is that I've seen him fall a ton. So, like, he has a max of 121. This is a guy that's ranked 13th in a WRC for Steamer. We know he's going to get his everyday at bat. So, like, that's not a question when we're just talking hypotheticals of projection. So, I mean, for me, you get a replace. I mean, it's not like he's like a Strasburg where you don't know if he's in or out of the lineup. He's either going to be hurt or he's going to be healthy. So to me, I just think he's kind of a plug and play, you know, big batting average booster guy. And if he's healthy, this is a guy that we've seen go in the second round pretty recently in fantasy drafts.
Yep. Yeah, you're trying to twist my arm. I'm just kidding. It's all fair. Like I said, the price, that was one of the big reasons I was always out in the past. Because if I'm not getting speed and I'm worried about getting games, like, this is tough. But We'll figure it out from there. Might be an interesting auction price tag come auction day. Wyatt Langford. This is the guy I was all in on last year, and it was like a mixed bag. 22-22 is great. 241 average I can deal with. He was playing with a bunch of oblique injuries, at least two or three maybe throughout the season. But with Wyatt Langford, ADP is 50. So you still have a little bit of a premium there with him. But like I said, he got 22-22. Where are you at in Langford entering 2026? This will be 24 years old.
Yeah, so last year he was a little bit of a trickier click for me because he had no track record at all, and he was going pretty high. Like you said, it was a slight disappointment, but you were able to – he didn't lose your league by any means. He did okay. So I think next year he's worth going back into. Batting average-wise, maybe the 250 projection is fair. But yeah, if you're looking for that kind of fourth round bat or so, I think he's just going to fill out all your categories besides batting average and being the elite prospect that he was. He could easily hit a new level. Just because he didn't do it in the first 2 years doesn't mean anything. Cause yeah, he's only 24 years old. So yeah, it's a solid buy this year.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you there. Like, I still like him. Like I said, he didn't kill you. Like, there could be, I'm always with the young guys. Like, if he didn't kill you, there might be another level to this thing. I guess my question to you, and neither one of us are doctors, but like the consistent soft tissue things, like we've seen this with a lot of players, like, does that concern you at all at that kind of ADP?
You know, honestly, and again, stayed at a Holiday Inn Express before, but not a doctor, 24 years old, you think that this guy over the winter is going to rehab it, rest it, not too worried about it. Now, if it was George Springer and he had these issues at 35, 36, something like that, I mean, that's a little different. I think over the winter, they get an opportunity to reset, maybe do some different rehab and techniques. So I wouldn't worry about it now. In the spring, when these guys get these little oblique things and they miss a game here, a game there, that's a different story. But he seems fully healthy at this moment, and something like a soft tissue should heal itself, I would think.
I'm with you there. Speaking of a guy with perennial oblique injuries, he's 30, though, and I've always said a guy looks like that, looks like me. I guess we do have obliques after all. So that's a plus. But I'm talking Jake Berger, who, again, a guy I was big on last year, and obviously injuries and other things derailed things. Looked like he was going to start swinging it well before he got his next oblique injury. But only played 103 games last year. He's penciled in as a starting first baseman for 2026. His ADP is close to 280, though, not costing you much at all, Lucas. So what are your thoughts on Jake Berger? Again, not an expensive price tag, but maybe there's maybe a little concerns there.
Yeah, Berger's interesting. When you take a look at kind of his skills, it feels like they should be worse considering it feels like he had a horrible year. But I think as far as like a cheap power bat for a 25 home run guy, I think this is a fine option. Now, we did see him get demoted. So, I mean, there is some risk there, but obviously that's more than baked in the price point. So I think as far as like a cheap power bat, he makes a lot of sense. I would probably maybe want him a little bit more in a fab league where if it did, you know, go south, you could make a change there. But I think for a power hitter, all of his barrel rates are just fine. He's even lowered his strikeout rate down every year of his career. And while I don't think he's really like that good of a hitter, I don't think he's like a 210 kind of guy if he gets a full allotment of PA. So he's fine. It's just a matter of that on base. If he's hitting enough, they'll keep him there. But they've shown they're not afraid to pull the plug if it's going south.
Yep, the pulling the plug part, I think, concerns me almost more than the injury with him because he can be very streaky. So it's like, do they wait out the streak or not? And that's the concern. But at the price, I could see it because he's going down there in that deeper world of late, do I care first baseman types. Let's go to Evan Carter, who another guy perennially injured, back injuries and whatnot. Played 63 games last year, 5 homers, 14 steals for Carter. He's going to be 23. Like some people are extremely high on Carter. Some people think he's a platoon bat. Some people don't know if he can stay healthy. There's a levels to Carter. Right now his ADP is 309, though. Doesn't cost too much of anything and could be an everyday outfielder for the Rangers. What are your thoughts on Evan Carter?
Yeah, so I think you'd kind of mention, like we had mentioned Berger with a slight demotion risk. You may want to be aware of that in a DC where you're basically stuck with the guys. Like with Carter, I think the injury risk is extremely real and it is a concern, but at that price, it doesn't mean you should fully turn him off. I mean, he does kind of have that combo ability of maybe a 15 and a 15, which if you plug that in as your outfielder 5 in opportune weeks where he faces a bunch of righties, you can play with that a little bit. So I think it's key to just remember that this guy is an interesting bat, but like you said, the injury risk is very concerning and the price is low enough where maybe if you wanted to take a chance on it, you can, but I think that the ceiling is lowered a lot compared to what we saw him in the playoffs where he shined in this run.
Don't disagree with you. Like I think there are skills there, but when and how are the questions I have. Jock Jams, a guy that a lot of us just enjoy in general. Seems like a good dude. He's got his brother he brings around, which is always a good story. Last year, absolutely disastrous. That's just a disastrous season, the best I can put it. He's a strict platoon guy, but he's on the strong side of a DH platoon. And his ADP is 551. What are your thoughts on a potential bounce back for Jock Jams?
Yeah, I mean, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, before the National League DH, a guy with this type of hitting projection with a role, he would have been going a lot higher in fantasy. But since, you know, 7-8 teams have a Yelich or a Schwarber or an Ohtani, he's naturally just going to go lower. So, I mean, it's not a bad call if you just want to take that power stab. Because before last year, he was about as consistent as it comes for 3 years, starting with your Giants, where he really revitalized himself. So the only tough thing, Bubba, that I've – and because we all know whenever he's right, he has that power. And if he doesn't, it's not that big of a deal if you waste the pick. But, like, I did a DC where I drafted Yordan Alvarez as a utility, and I was super excited about that. But it was really a little bit tricky for me to fill out all my positions because I basically had a 49-man roster for hitting my – 7 corner infielders, 7 middle infielders. I do like to get 4 catchers just to have a guy in there if I need to get a runner in RBI, even if he's a bad average guy. So, like, that's the downside with these utility guys is it's harder for you to hit your roster requirements unless you're stretching out multiple eligibility guys and all that.
It's a great point. That's like it's a constant yearly discussion, especially during draft season like this, is when do you take a util guy? There's more and more good ones because it used to be just like, okay, it's just Shohei or it's just Yordan, or now there's Schwarber, like you mentioned. Like there's and they're all going early. Like you got to take them early if you want them, and you know how good they can be. But at the same time, it's like you got one spot to play them, and we always talk about the flexibility of other guys. It's like, you know, this guy can play 5 roster spots for me, which is great because, as you know, is what you're basically talking about is you're trying to hit your numbers, you're trying to hit your counting stats, your at bats, all those things to get you your numbers. And if you're pigeonholing yourself, it makes things a little tricky. Now, is it impossible? No, But it's definitely something to think about, to your point, that like, if he's not producing, well, now you're down to 49 players because you don't have the luxury of moving things around as much as you'd like. All right, here's a player that I don't know if I want to quit just yet. And I probably should, but his price makes it interesting to me, and that's Josh Jung. Should be healthy again. He's had some freakish injuries. He's got some soft tissue. He's also had some freakish, like, hit on the wrist type things. Mm-hmm. Last year in 131 games, 14 homers, hit .251. Not great, but not bad to me considering the injuries. And his ADP is .315 at a third base position, Lucas. Like, I know it's maybe shooting for the moon here, but I'm looking at the price point, and I think this might be a gamble I'm interested in. I could be totally wrong, but where are you at on Josh Jung?
No, I think that's fair. And, you know, at the beginning of the offseason, I was looking at kind of him and Connor Norby in that little pocket there, and I was intrigued, but kind of the more I dug into both, I was a little worried. That being said, it is all health with this guy. If he's feeling really good, he's a better hitter than this. We've seen that in his 2023 campaign where he was a plus power, plus average guy. I mean, nothing crazy in the power and average, but he was helpful in both options. He came up as a really solid batting prospect. I mean, he was 20th overall in his class. I mean, that's this people, if they weren't familiar, he was a really nice prospect. And at 27, 28, I mean, he's not that old yet. So, I mean, I think it's a fine stab. But like you said, with so many of these players, it's just as an injury riddled roster. That's why a guy like Josh Smith's been able to hit pay dirt, because he has a playing time place everywhere. So, but no, I think Josh Jung, I think the talent is better than we've seen. So I think at 300, something like that, it's fine. Just be ready for him to miss some time.
Yep, I'm with you. Missed some time at that point, but at that ADP, hopefully he's your second, third base, mm-hmm. third, depending on how you're drafting. And even in a fab league, I think he can make that work. So I'm interested in him. Catching situation in Texas, they had they still have Kyle Higashioka. They let Jonah Heim go. They signed Danny Jansen. So I have Danny Jansen down here, but you could take this any direction you want at the position, because we know Jansen has power, but the average is suspect. You know, Higashioka, probably a little less power, better average. It's more than likely going to be an annoying platoon all season. But right now, Jansen's projected to be the starter. His ADP is .453, and Higashioka's is .447. So they're going pretty much right next to each other. How do you attack this position if you want to attack it at all?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. And it's a pretty interesting setup that the Rangers did from a real-life team. Like, you're paying Jansen $7 million bucks a year. You're paying Higashioka about $7 million a year. You can platoon these guys. You can find out which pitchers they're going to work with. I don't have it memorized, but I could see it being a solid, okay, real-life deal. But for fantasy, it's a C3 and a DC, and it's a home run prayer, basically, is all you're doing. Kind of like when you want your tight end to catch a touchdown, it's basically what you're doing here. So as a C3, I'm happy with Higashioka. I think he's fine. And Jansen is a similar player, like you said. The thing is you really don't want these guys as your C2, because another team is going to have 1,000 plate appearances of, you know, Goose and a Will Smith or Salvador Perez and Shea Langley. So like you're getting crushed on that type of thing. So if you can at least get like a Logan O'Hoppe, who could hit 20 home runs this year, or a Tyler Stevenson, who could have a mini bounce back, like that's going to be so much better than this catching situation. So this is a C3 only type of deal.
Just sounds like a guy that's drafted a lot. Just what about catchers right there, folks? As he just nailed a few things. But yes, I'm with you. Like in a DC, both of these are very enticing, especially Jansen, because, you know, if he stays healthy, 15 to 20 home runs is very, yeah, very doable. So that is nice. But like you said, big ifs. And even if he stays healthy, it is probably like a platoon. Like if he gets 100 games, you're going to be like thrilled. And that's a big question. All right, second base with Marcus Semien out of town, currently resides with Josh Smith, but I think he's better suited for super utility, as you kind of mentioned earlier. So things might change, but for now, Smith's the guy. 10 homers, 12 steals last year, 13 homers, 11 steals the year before. So you kind of have an idea of what you're getting. He's first base, third base, shortstop, ADP 347. Interest in Josh Smith.
Yeah, it's kind of mild because he's an okay DC filler. But I wouldn't say a whole lot beyond that. He doesn't provide much average, doesn't provide a whole lot of power or speed, but he can kind of do a little bit of everything just enough. But for a real life team, he's a nice player. So DC, if he falls and I'm desperate to have kind of that little puzzle piece that I can move around. He's potentially an option, but he's not a target for me personally.
Yeah, he was a guy that every time I was doing my positional rankings, I'd look at him and was like, I can't justify having him any. Like, there's just some, because I don't even know if he's going to play. And when he does play, like, it's okay, but it's like a, I don't even know if it's 15 team viable when you look at that stat line. It is, but it's tough. Any other players on the active roster? We'll talk prospects later, but I think we hit most of them. There's Hellman, there's Haggerty. We talked to Ishikashioka. Anybody worth discussing, or should we move to the mound?
Yeah, I mean, we said it earlier, but this is a team with payroll limitations. I mean, they would love to go out there and spend some more money, but as far as being right on that luxury tax salary cap deal, they're right there. So I think that what they would want to do is get, like, not even saying a big time second baseman, but just a guy that they can put there and maybe reach two wins above replacement. They would love that. And then they would have Smith as their filler guy. So, I mean, I think they're going to give a little oddish to Ezekiel Duran for second. I don't trust him to make any differences there. Same thing with, you know, a few other little org players that they have, like Justin Foskey might get a chance, or a Cody Freeman, brother Tyler Freeman. I think they're going to be stuck with Josh Smith. Once one of their big guys goes down, Smith's going to move over there, weaken everything. They really need, like, obviously, like a Brendan Donovan would make this whole lineup look different, even though he's nothing crazy special, but he's a good player. Everyone would want to have him. So I think they would want to have a second baseman that they could just plug in to use Smith as that rover, but they don't have that luxury.
That's a great point about the injury, and then it gets worse for Texas because the depth isn't there. Because they're paying guys like Jacob DeGrom $37 million. That's no slight at Jacob DeGrom, but a team like this can't afford to be paying Jacob DeGrom $37 million. He is their ace of the staff. Threw 172 innings last year out of nowhere. Ratios were good. Started to struggle as the season wore on, Lucas, and he has an ADP of 47 right now. He's their top drafted player, according to the NFBC. What are your thoughts on DeGrom this year? Because I have not clicked the button.
Yeah, so as far as my Battleship article, I had DeGrom as a guy that I thought would sink your battleship, and he kind of blew my mind. Second Tommy John surgery, came back 172 frames with elite ratios. Not quite his salad days, but they were very good, and they made you more than enough of your profit back. He crushed it for you. He's not quite the same guy, but the durability is my concern. He'll turn age 38 in the middle of the summer. You know, that worries me. I mean, it just does, especially with the two TJs, and he had other injury issues beyond that. I know he's dealt with neck issues, shoulder issues. I don't know, too much risk for me. I'd want somebody a little bit younger. I have the same feelings with Chris Sale, but I think Sale has more upside personally, just because we've seen him when he came back from injury last year, he kind of blew the waters out.
Yeah, I think Sale's got the more upside / I think he's got more innings still on that arm, where DeGrom terrifies me. That jump last year was a massive jump. Jump after a second TJ. So it's one of those, like, I have no problem being wrong on anything, and I'll be cool. If DeGrom deals, I'll enjoy watching him on TV every fifth day because he's great. But that's about as far as it goes for me.
Kind of going back to your point with the innings jump, it was the first year he'd been over 100 innings since 2019. So, I mean, can you land in the right spot two times in a row? I don't know. It's a possibility, but I'm not paying a third, fourth rounder to find out.
That's the key, is I'm not paying that price tag, especially for me. I usually wait on pitching, so that'd be my SP, like, one, and that is not going to be happening. Like, no, we're not going that route. If I'm taking an SP one and the third or fourth round, it ain't going to be Jacob DeGrom. You mentioned he's going to be 38. I got a guy that's going to be 36 as their number two, Nate the Grady Evaldi. So, again, this team got some old players hanging around there. Nate's been awesome. Only 130 innings last year, but a sub-2 ERA. Elite stuff. Injuries are always a concern with Nate Eovaldi. His ADP is like 142. I love Nate. I don't mind drafting him. Still not an immediate target for me, but by any means, just because I am concerned about health and injury. But I agree, the skills are awesome. Where are you at on Nate Eovaldi this season?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's a good target. Price point wise, get him as your third, maybe get him as your fourth. He's never not been good since he's fixed himself in Boston back in 2021. So, I mean, injury wise, I mean, it's a little bit like Seager, where to me, to get a guy who I know is so talented that whenever he's out there, he's going to help me a ton, and then I can backfill him in. That's not a bad kind of way to look at it personally. So last year, in Arizona. We heard all the top teams in the overall. They had Uvalde. He's going at 150. That's more than affordable. So I'm going to sign myself up back for a handful more shares. Like you said, there is some injury volatility, so it's not going to be like a 40% share kind of guy. But yeah, I'll definitely have him on some teams.
Yeah, and it's something I know you've discussed, I've discussed, other people have discussed, is in recent seasons with so many pitching injuries, it's just like, yeah, go and get your aces. They can all get hurt too. But as the draft goes on, like, just start drafting the talent. Like, 130 innings was plenty from Eovaldi. You didn't have to have the 180 innings. You can backfill it with other things. It's like the mindset that even I'm guilty of at times. You got to, like, change. Yes, do you want the workhorse you can pencil in for 6 months? Of course. Like, that's the perfect world. But you also, like, go, hey, I want to get, like, 3.5 months of this just machine, and then I can try to backfill it elsewhere. Like, there's ways to build your roster. So I'm just echoing your ADP 150. We're talking 10th round here. Like, you can – that's an SP 2 or 3, depending on how you approach your draft. You can do a lot with that. All right. Now we go a little younger in Texas. Jack Leiter Jr., a pitcher that if you look at his regular stat line, you see the 3.86 ERA, very good. Strikeouts are decent. 151 innings really gets me excited. I have my thoughts on Jack, so I want to hear yours first before I kind of put too much into the ether. But ADP is 242. Where are you at on him this year?
Man, he's a tough one. He's taken some steps forward from his 2024 season, so that's promising. He's now a helpful pitcher in the majors, which if you knew who this guy was coming up as a prospect, where he was the number two pick, to think that he's just now kind of becoming a productive player shows you how tough baseball is. His fastball is his money pitch. I mean, I love that as a base. If you have a good fastball, you can automatically have some good ways to move forward. Like, we've seen that from Ryan Nelson and Logan Gilbert. That was his starting point, was a big fastball. Not saying he's either one of those players on either spectrum, but his control is a big issue right now. If he's able to clean that up a little bit, I think he's got mid rotation upside. It is a great park right now to pitch in. So he's a guy that I would maybe mix in here and there, but he is also volatile. We have not seen the strikeouts rack up yet. So he's a little bit tricky, but I think the building block base is interesting.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by his ADP at 241. A lot of it was what you started with there. The growth he made actually got me kind of interested, especially in the second half of the season. Like, he got better as the season went along. It just wasn't just like a full picture of, hey, the whole season was better. No, he actually improved as the season went along. Control's been his biggest issue, really. And he started to tone that in a little better. Strikeouts were a little bit, like, you could see the growth, to your point. And so then I start telling myself ADP 241. Okay, he's my SP 5 or 6. Like, this could be an interesting situation. So I'm very intrigued for now. I'm not going to go all in, but I'm going to definitely circle some Jack Leiter when I'm doing drafts. So I'll say that much.
Love it. Love it.
All right, now I'm just going to put a broad one here because I started making the outline. I'm like, let's just see where Lucas wants to go with this. So the Rangers had a decent rotation last year to start the season, not so much this year. You got Kumar Rocker, who, again, young player, hasn't had the consistency. You have Jacob Latz, who I haven't minded seeing, but it's a small samples, bullpens, minors, spot starts. Maybe there's someone else I'm not paying attention to here. How do you see the back end of this rotation planning out, and is there any fantasy upside to what you're liking? Because just for reference, Lats ADP is 462, Rockers is 485.
Yeah, so for me, I'm a pretty big fan of Lats. He's kind of falls into this bucket that Nick Pollock calls a swatch, where he's a southpaw with a tight changeup, and I think that's a cool way to look at it, because he's, against right-handed batters, he's automatically got a really good changeup. So that's a big building block for him. So yeah, he was used kind of as a flex pitcher, kind of a utility pitcher. They had mentioned him in the closing role, which obviously for fantasy baseball would be great, but I think he's better off as that kind of six starter in and out of the rotation, kind of a Ross Stripling type of guy. So I think at that point in the DC, I think he's a really good pickup, just with his 13% swinging strike rate. I mean, he misses a ton of bats. As far as his zone contact is like 82%, which is near some of the big dogs in the majors. So I think he can just avoid that barrel with the changeup, and he's a nice little pick at that range.
Yep, I like Lats as well. I've got a few shares in my DCs already for Everything you said, even if it's if he turns into a six starter in DC, you'll get your 10 to 15 starts. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you get more. Like, I don't mind him at all. Like, there's a lot to like with Jacob Latz, and I will go that to the well with him. And I have a feeling I'll be using him and off the waiver wire throughout the season as well, if not to stick on a team at some point in time. Let's look at the bullpen, unfortunately, because we have to. It's the name of the game here. Right now, there were options out there. I thought they might bring some previously used arms back to their team. Didn't do that. So right now, the Rangers have Robert Garcia back in the closing role, who lost his job closing last season. So keep that in mind. They signed Chris Martin. They have Alexis Diaz, which has been a popular name. How do you foresee the Texas Rangers situation playing out in the pen? Or I guess, how would you approach it for fantasy? Because Garcia's ADP is 288. Now, if you think he's the closer with inflation, that's amazing. Farther down the list, though, I want to highlight the Chris Martin's 592, Alexis Diaz 608. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so this is an interesting team because they've been dumpster diving a lot for closers. I mean, you know, we've seen him bring Kirby Yates back to life a couple years ago. Now their big project is going to be Alexis Diaz, and they're going to have their work cut out for them with him. His velocity dropped a ton since he was in his peak. He was about 95, 96. Now he's in the 93 range, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it is everything when you're at that level. And his control is very poor. So is it possible that they fix him? I suppose. Is he worth the dart where he goes? If you're desperate, you can give it a chance. But I think that he's either going to be cut off this team or they might be able to fix him. So that's up to you. If you draft a guy like a Michael Kopech, who I prefer a lot more, not only could he maybe get a role, but even if he becomes a setup man, we've seen him be solid versus Diaz, I think, is going to be entirely unusable if they don't get him fixed. You've mentioned Robert Garcia. I think he's the most steadiest potential closing arm they have. I know Chris Martin has been a good player too, but for some reason they don't really like to use him as the closer. And that might be personal preference, but I think Garcia is probably your favorite for saves, but ideally they want to get somebody ahead of him so they can use him in versatile situations as that lefty. So I think Emiliano Teodo is one that you might want to look at. I mean, he's going to basically be dirt cheap for you. Fantasy DC people have given it a try with him in the past and it didn't work, but that doesn't mean it won't work in the future. As we saw with Uribe had a bad year in 2024. If people didn't go back to that well, they missed out in 2025. I'm not saying that's Teodo, but as far as that closer back end stuff, I think that he could have it. So he's worth a potential speculative chance in the last round.
Yeah. A couple things to hit. I'm going to hit on there is Chris Martin is a guy that I wrote about a couple years ago. It feels like he's an elite back end of the bullpen guy, but no one ever puts him as closer. So there's gotta be something that a lot of us are missing on this one. So, and he's getting old. He's a lot older than I think people think. So he might be quite old. That seventh or eighth. Alexis Diaz, there has been stuff. It's been in the Discord and other places that they're trying to fix him. So I see the appeal there at ADP 608. But again, what I love is your Teodo call, because I write AOS PT tomorrow for HQ. So I'm constantly having to kind of speculate on call-ups. And Teodo's a guy I wanted up all years. No control whatsoever, but he has electric stuff. Like, he's built to be a closer someday. I like Teodo. And they also have Mark Church back there, who was almost going to be a closer at one time before he got hurt. They're both super cheap. So their closer might be sitting in AAA for the second half of the season. Like, Church is ADP 747, Teodo 730, to your point. Last picks, basically. So a lot to like there.
Part of my mind to that was thinking, what if they threw Rocker in as a closer?
I was promoting that last year when he was back in AAA and they're trying to fix him. He never came back up. I said, why don't they just fix him with his two pitches and make him a closer? Makes sense.
It's. I think, Bubba, that this team is going to head into camp, and I think they're not going to have any notions of who's what, and they're going to let these guys go out there and pitch. I really think they want Robert Garcia in that role where they can choose him where he makes sense and really get a guy ahead of him. But this will be a fascinating one to watch. And like you said, they've got a lot of internal talent, so it'll be pretty cool to monitor.
One of their biggest problems is just they don't have starting pitching depth in the minors. So like, that's where Rocker gets kind of forced in to what's going on, unless they go and pick up a couple cheapies out there, go pick up a Verlander or something and see where it goes. But I took a couple of your potential minor leaguers. You mentioned Teodoro, I mentioned Church. What are some other guys that we could potentially see this year in a fantasy aspect?
So, yeah, he's not a minor leaguer, but I think we got to mention, we mentioned Rocker. He's a roller coaster, so we kind of got him out of the way. If you want to throw a Hail Mary, I guess he's worth a chance, but I have not done it. Cody Bradford, he's coming back. He's a big changeup specialist.
Good one.
With that ballpark, I mean, we saw Patrick Corbin provide DC usefulness. Not saying he was a league winner or nothing, but I think Bradford's a decent little option, not a prospect. But as far as some of their pitching prospects, I mean, they do have some names that are going to be coming up, like a Jose Cornell. I think he's interesting just in that park. As far as AAA last year, he missed a ton of bats, 13% swinging strike, and he could have a role. Like you said, those guys are so hurt. So I think Cornell is worth a shot. Bradford, he's a known name at this point. But, yeah, they've got a little bit more coming up than they used to.
I like the Bradford call. Heck, Corbin could re-sign with them for a couple $1 million. Wouldn't surprise me either, just because like they need someone to eat innings. It's that simple. So he could be that guy, and he was very, very serviceable with that team to the dismay of my co-host. Worked out pretty well. I guess I'll ask you this. Do you think we see Sebastian Walcott this season? Because I've heard probably not, unless it's late, but I was just going to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I think it's a very low chance. You know, as far as his ADP, it's not as cheap as you might think, given that, like you said, you've heard a lot of people say no. I mean, he goes about 576. I mean, that's not a lot, but there's still another 100+ picks after that. So he's not a guy that I have clicked, but obviously being a top five, top 10 prospect that he is, if he is ready and he's looking good, not only is he going to command a ton of fab money, but I can understand why people are taking the chance. Cause if it pops, it could be super loud, but I would say odds are against it.
For sure. All right. Final thoughts. Again, I know you're not a Texas Rangers fan per se, but what are your expectations for this team this year? They have the Astros, you have the Mariners, A's are still there. Technically, Angels are technically still there too. It's not a great division outside of the top two. What are your thoughts on what the Rangers end up doing this year?
Yeah, I think they'll have a chance to compete for the playoffs, which that may not sound great, but that's kind of all you're asking for after last year's 500 team. So they're going to be very health dependent, as we kind of talked about, not only on the pitching side, but position player wise, they have a lot of very fragile guys. I do like their minor league guys coming up. Like you said, I think Cornell could make an impact bullpen wise. They could pull another rabbit out of their hat. We didn't get a chance to mention Alejandro Ozuna, but he could throw a little bit of outfield depth in for them. But yeah, I mean, this is just one of the pitfalls of building a team through free agency. It's when those players age out and get older, they're just going to miss more time. They're going to decline a little bit. And they're clearly trying to rearrange the deck chairs whenever they move Simeon for Nimmo. That was kind of a move where it was like, what's kind of the point? And they're just trying to mix things up and see what they can do.
Yeah, they let Adelis Garcia go. You get Nimmo in there. Seager was on the block. They just couldn't find the taker to make it work. Like, to your point, they're trying to rearrange things and potentially move on a little quicker than they like, but it's just not working at this point in time. All right, we're going to wrap it up there, my friend. Remind everybody where they can find you and what you got going on at FTN Fantasy.
Yeah, so you can hit me up on Blue Sky, Lucas Beery over there. No longer on Twitter, but you can find my content at FTN as well. Have the battleships coming out, and we're also going to be putting up our spring training roundups, which obviously in spring training, the information's coming quick. It's coming fast, but hopefully we can put it in a little bit more of a digestible form for you. So check it out over there at FTN.
Yep, check out all Lucas's work. Awesome stuff. Great person. Love chatting with you, my friend. Thanks for joining me, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
Absolutely, man. It was a great time.
All right, everybody. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 812, your 2026 Texas Rangers team preview. Catch y'all next time.